Just a quick heads up, this podcast contains explicit language. Rapper Megan Thee Stallion has had a massive year. Her song with Cardi B, WAP, topped the Billboard Hot 100, as did, of course, her remix of Savage with Beyoncé. I'm a savage, classy, bougie, ratchet, sassy, moody, nasty, acting stupid, what's happening, what's happening, bitch, I'm a savage. On Friday, Megan Thee Stallion dropped her first official full-length album called Good News. Good News is stuffed with explicit sex and raunchy confidence, with features from fellow stars like SZA, Young Thug, 2 Chainz, and DaBaby. But it also opens with Shots Fired, in which Meg bluntly addresses the July shooting that led to bullet wounds in her feet and the arrest of rapper Tory Lanez. I'm Stephen Thompson. Today, we are talking about Megan Thee Stallion's Good News on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away. Put jeans on, baby, you don't feel my pain. Please don't give me
hype. This message comes from NPR sponsor Headspace. Life can be stressful, but 2020 has challenged even the most difficult times of life. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes. That's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations and an easy-to-use app. Need help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions. Go to headspace.com/happyhour for a free month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation.
Welcome back. Joining me from her home in San Antonio, Texas, we have writer Kiana Fitzgerald. Hey, Kiana.
Hey, Stephen.
It's great to have you. Also here joining us from Dallas, Texas, is culture critic and writer Taylor Crumpton. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, y'all.
It's great to have you here. So Good News is officially billed as Megan Thee Stallion's debut album, but it follows several years full of EPs, singles, and mixtapes. The rapper came up in Houston and has showcased several sides of her persona, even adopting alter egos like Tina Snow and Hot Girl Meg. And in 2019, she presided over what was called Hot Girl Summer, a season of celebration that marked Meg's passage into superstardom. And doesn't Hot Girl Summer seem so long ago? Kiana, you wrote a cover story on Megan Thee Stallion for Paper during Hot Girl Summer last year. What do you think of Good News?
Well, I think she's a long way from that era. Fever was her debut of Hot Girl Meg. That was her carefree, like, won't take shit attitude. It was her really just stepping into her own fulfillment. And I think Good News is a progression, but I think that she's trying to figure out what she wants to be as a pop star. I think that there are some elements here that are still like reminiscent of Fever, of Tina Snow, of Suga. I think there are some places where she tries to go in a different direction. But overall, I think that she's still spitting. She's still writing really, really tight rhymes. But I'm still sitting with it, obviously, and I'm trying to figure out how this is going to stand the test of time as opposed to Fever. Fever for me was very, very fun. I lived with it. I loved it. And it represented like Hot Girl Summer. It was truly a moment in time. And I feel like this project may not live as long as Fever, but only time will tell.
Taylor Crumpton, you also wrote a great piece about Megan Thee Stallion for Harper's Bazaar. We'll put links to both of those articles in our newsletter, but I highly, highly recommend both of them. Taylor, give us your thoughts on Good News.
Yeah, I think I was one of the multiple people who stayed up until its official release. And as I was processing it in real time, it made me reminisce on Megan's early beginnings, her YouTube freestyles, which really solidified her fan base on social media. Because as you said, she already had a physical fan base in Texas and across the Southern United States. But after the, you know, Billboard success of Hot Girl Summer, followed by the TikTok success of Savage, I think right now what we are witnessing in Good News is her kind of encapsulating that overwide worldwide success and making her debut as a pop star on this album. There are so many singles that I can already see being mentioned on Instagram captions and TikTok dance challenges. And this catapulted with the release of her GQ cover for Rapper of the Year. I think this album is a testament to her overall star power and what she means to be in pop culture. But it is a distinct difference than her earlier works, than Fever and Suga. And I'm trying to process, if that distinction is due to the overwhelming success that she's had in recent years and how those singles have been, you know, popularized and charted compared to more of the deep cuts on the albums, which I enjoy. So I think we're seeing Megan Thee Stallion, the pop star, but I'm still trying to figure out when we are going to hear Megan Pete. I think that's the album I'm really looking forward to, is the one that's going to be released with Q-Tip in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to listen to her progression over the years. I mean, I remember pulling tracks on SoundCloud in like late 2018, and like I was putting together a playlist, and I was like, well, I probably shouldn't pull anything too explicit, and I couldn't find a 20-second excerpt from any one of her songs that I could have played. And then you listen to this record, it's still blunt, it's still sexually explicit, it's still, you know, filthy in spots, but it is definitely, I think, that side of her does feel dialed back, and it does feel more like a pop star record. And as a pop star record, it's very overstuffed. Like, it's 17 tracks. It's got Savage Remix with Beyonce. It's got these features from Young Thug and SZA and DaBaby and just like big name after big name. It feels very much like a big, big swing, like for world domination.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to kind of just like backtrack and set the scene of me listening to this project for the first time. I kind of timed it out with my sister that we would be in the car at 11 p.m. Central, like be able to hit the road and listen to this full project. And she doesn't know this, but I recorded my sister's reaction just because I was like, I know this is going to be a moment. And she was screaming, like she was really, really feeling it. And I think that really sets like a foundation of understanding, like, this project will mean something to different people. Like, What's New is my favorite song. I think it's super fun. I think it's her new Cash Shit, even though she has a song with DaBaby on this project, which was her previous collaboration. But I think, like, this is her talking, like, her mess, like, saying what she's going to do and when she's going to do it. Let's hear a clip of that. Better than your favorite bad bitch, turned the whole world into a savage. Middle finger in all of my pictures just to remind y'all I ain't having it. I'm the baddest bitch who wanna fight about it. Put them in the booth, I bet I'll take the title. All of these hoes my sheep, Mary had a little lamb, they was talking about me. Hey, switch sides so I switch back. Lot of IOUs, I ain't getting back. Lot of shit I should've walked away from, but the hood bitch, Jimmy kept pulling me back. Wish I would let her horn my business. Hey, quit asking about these niggas. Look, he don't want to. Yeah, that line where she says, all of these hoes my sheep, Mary had a little lamb, they was talking about me. I was like, oh yeah, that's the Megan I love. Like, so there are definitely elements of this project that like screamed out at me and jumped out and just like grabbed onto my heart. I don't know, there are some moments where I feel like she's just doing what she wants to do for herself, and I respect that.
Well, I wanted to talk about the song Shots Fired. I had this reaction going into this record like, well, you know, I don't know if she's going to address, you know, this shooting from over the summer where she was shot in both of her feet. The rapper Tory Lanez was arrested in relation to that. I'm like, is she even going to touch on it? The very first track on this record is called Shots Fired, and it is very, very blunt and pretty specific. And man, if you are ever going to cross Megan Thee Stallion, I highly recommend not being 5'3". Imagine niggas lying by shooting a real bitch just to save face for rapping niggas you chill with. Imagine me giving a fuck, it was your fucking birthday. You and your feelings, I just thought it was another Thursday. Now imagine me cop blocking niggas on some dry shit. I don't want you on a bitch, believe you wouldn't have been invited. And if it wasn't for me, same week you'd have been indicted. You walk the M's, not the talk, I guess that made my friend excited. Now y'all in cahoots, you a pussy boots. What did you guys think of that song?
Well, I mean, like I said, we were in the car and we were just kind of sitting there ready to hit the road. And my sister and I heard the first couple of bars and our jaws dropped. We just looked at each other like, oh, she's doing it. She's going there. I think that it's very bold of her to flip a Biggie beat. And not only that, to directly address exactly the situation that she kind of danced around for a while and eventually came forward and said, hey, this is what happened. Like, in so many words, please believe me, I'm the victim here. I think with this song, she kind of flipped it on its head and said, yeah, I was a person involved in this situation, but I'm not a victim. I'm taking my voice back. I'm taking this situation and I'm controlling the narrative.
Taylor, you wrote in Harper's Bazaar about the relation of Megan Thee Stallion to the phenomenon of kind of misogynoir, the treatment of women in music, and kind of relating it to this shooting. What did you think of Shots Fired as a response to that situation?
Yes, I think Shots Fired is Megan's assertive indirectness energy that we've all fallen in love with over the years. I think for her fans, she very much embodies walking with that aura of confidence, and especially for her to be a young Black woman with the eyes of the entire world upon her after she has endured a very publicized traumatic incident, you know, and we're thinking about this in her timeline, only a year past her mother, her last living parent, being taken from her. And I think I remember in her Instagram post, her saying that she gave credit to her mother and her deceased relatives, because if that bullet had hit maybe like an inch closer, she wouldn't have been able to dance, right? That would have been like a career altering incident. So we see on Shots Fired, this resurgence of this fieriness, of this her taking this space as this powerful Black woman, and kind of directly addressing those falsehoods and those mythologies that were being produced about her, right? There's an aura in pop culture and music this year when people were just trying to fulfill the gaps in their own personal understandings, relationships. There were podcast appearances, there were songs, there was kind of a little own industry built off of this falsehood. And we see her coming very directly, telling the truth, speaking this truth to power. And I think what really gave me hope, or what gives me hope for her follow-up album after this, is her just annihilating people. I love Megan because she is a student, a tutelage of what hip hop means in its purest form in the battle rap origins beginnings. And though I wouldn't classify Tory Lanez as a rapper, I would classify him as a singer. She took direct career ending shots. It reminds me of like a Muhammad Ali. She was in the ring boxing him, and also boxing the people that supported him, the people who did buy his album, the people in the industry that still support him, right? There's so much of a web and a nuance in hip hop. And for her to say, if you supported Tory, you indirectly don't support me. And I think that's powerful because she understands her status as a celebrity and the world's biggest pop star. And for her to put that on her debut album, I think was her warning a shot to a lot of people in the industry. Like, you may have sided with him and been against me, but I'm coming to let you know I keep my receipts. I have a record and I will not forget that.
Yeah, it is a very visceral and powerful song. And it really does, like, within like 45 seconds of the start of this record, you already have this like, that is really, really potent. And I think the visceral quality of not only that song, but just her delivery in general, her subject matter, her whole stance and approach is just so blunt all the time. And that's really, really satisfying, even on a record where she is staking a place as a more mainstream figure.
Yeah, I think for me, it's funny because I know she already had like some existing singles on here, but there was such a critique of Girls in the Hood. And I don't know if it's because that she had, you know, sampled such an iconic like hip hop song as Eazy-E's Boys in the Hood. But when we compare it to the album's beginning, Shots Fired, you see it's kind of this continuation of this energy, right? Where those first lines of Girls in the Hood that I cannot repeat on NPR are very are very much like these defining moments. And I think for me, this feels like a very pop album, and those tracks still feel like rapper Megan to me. Like, they feel very bold and they take up space because that is what she does. And I think she is this 25-year-old Black woman from the South who, you know, one of my favorite lyrics from her is, "Bitch, I'm from Texas, we get rowdy." And she carries that energy that lives within me and Kiana and a lot of our Black women from Texas, in which we explicitly take up space and we do not ask for your permission to be ourselves. And I think those few songs in the album where I hear Megan Peet, and I think that's a distinct difference, Megan Peet, her legal name, compared to Megan Thee Stallion, which is this pop culture we know today, is what kept me rooted in such a 17-track album. Right? Girls in the Hood was, I think the video was supposed to be recorded in Houston, and there was like allegedly leaked photos of Bun B being there and Paul Wall. And for even her to interpolate such a West Coast classic and like make that like a very Houston-centered idea, she has this history and understanding of hip hop and knows when to slice and interpolate it into her own classics, which I think speaks to like a testament of her being a student of the genre outside of just like the regional limits. it's a good pop album. I'll say that it is a good pop album, but I want a rap album. I want like a real in your face album.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me is in terms of the guests on this album, I felt like understandably the women outshone the men. I mean, everybody knows the Savage remix with Beyonce. I thought as soon as I heard SZA's voice swoop in, even though it is a more of a pop and R&B sound, I just so welcomed her voice. And often when they would bring in kind of some dude to rap a few bars, men in a Megan Thee Stallion song are just kind of standing around a little bit and yeah. trying to keep up, yeah. which I think is part of the point.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, I think, as you said, like the women do on this project, she just outshines them like bar none. Like she is absolutely incredible at taking like the Lil Durk collaboration, for example, like the ad-libs that they do at the beginning of the song, just saying yeah over and over again. Like he opens the song saying it and then she does it and I'm like, oh no, now I'm listening. Like yeah. you know, it's like something is different when she does it. And I think that really speaks to who she is. Like she can just breathe on a track and it's compelling. But just to kind of bring this full circle, I agree with Taylor that this is a strong pop album. And I think there are moments where Megan is like doing her thing and like going hard. But I am looking forward to like a straight up like hip hop. This is who I am. This is what I brought to the table from day one. This is who I want to present to you here.
Well, let's pick a song to go out on. Kiana, what do you got?
I would love to talk about Freaky Girls, yeah. the track featuring SZA. There is a very subtle hat tip that Megan presents to Houston. There's a song called 25 Lighters, which is by DJ DMD featuring Lil Kiki and Fat Pat. It's a very, very renowned Houston classic. And Fat Pat says at the end of his verse, "Love it, man." But they put that at the top of 25 Lighters and it kind of like sets the tone for the song. So with Freaky Girls, Megan takes that ad lib and she kind of puts it in consistently in the song. So we can always remember that she may not be making a Houston specific song, but she's damn sure gonna remind you that she's from Texas.
Years ago, infamously, we all heard the South Got Something to Say from Andre 3000 at the 1995 Source Awards. And Kiana and I were both contributors to NPR Southern Hip Hop Project. So to contextualize Megan's historic rise and ascension, no one in hip hop would have thought that in 1995, the hottest rapper in the world is from Houston, Texas, right? And I think the reason why she will be forever loved in the South is that she was able to, I want to say, defeat the originators of hip hop at their own game. Because for a long time, the South was not recognized nor honored in the hip hop lexicon nor anthology. And at this current moment, NPR, National Public Radio, the New York Times, Harper's Bazaar, W Magazine, all of these notable publications that very much did not accept hip hop in its early beginnings, and especially not Southern hip hop whenever our region kind of ascended to mainstream. And right now we have this woman who inspires so many young Black girls from Texas to be themselves. So just to kind of close off on that Savage remix of Beyonce, I know it is over said that it's the passing of a torch, but I think there is that shared sister and that kinship, right? As we see in Beyonce's latest interview with British Vogue, that she is taking the time to be a mother. She has given her whole entire life to pop culture and music. And this kind of tutelage, this mentorship of Megan, I think we're seeing that she is trying to figure out what her legacy and her lineage is going to be at such a young age. And that allows us critics, and I think journalists, to offer valid critiques, because we do love her and inherently see her and want to grow. And I think this is something that could be said with Kiana, as you know, Black people from Texas were the first ones to really love and embrace her and mm-hmm. and fight for her to be covered in national publications. So it's such a full circle moment to witness her, to critique her and offer her, you know, feedback for her rise, because we've only seen the beginnings of Megan Thee Stallion. And I'm really excited to finally hear Megan Pete one day.
Nice. Thank you so much to you both. I do want to shout out a couple of links to coverage at NPR Music. Taylor mentioned The South Got Something to Say, this amazing Southern hip hop playlist that both Taylor and Kiana contributed to. It is fantastic. I could not recommend it more highly. Also, we did a Megan Thee Stallion Tiny Desk concert as part of the Tiny Desk Fest, in which she brought so much absolutely awesome star power. I got to stand in the crowd and gawk at the intensity and power and majesty of that performance. I really, really highly recommend both of those. Well, we want to know what you think about Megan Thee Stallion's new album. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks so much to you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We'll see you all right back here tomorrow when we'll be talking about the film Hillbilly Elegy.
Lauren Coe of Loco Kitchen went from pie-zaster.
It looked like a crime scene. All the berry juices were everywhere.
To pie master. She'll share tips based on years of baking delicious pies that are stunning works of art, too. Listen and subscribe to NPR's Life Kit.